Dedication and the Spiritual Concept. We want this spiritual concept so much. We want to live in this aspect of it and be totally aware of what we're doing and what we are. But are we willing to give the dedication that it takes to it? A lot of times we say that we're the creator of our world. We're the ones who are in charge of our world, and everything in our world we created, every circumstance in our world we created. And then just because something happens that causes us to think again about it, be upset about it or something, we say that something in the outer is the cause. Something in the outer is the problem. And it takes a very great dedication to stand forth for whatever it is that you are and you do. Now, if we're the creator of our world, and we are the only one in our world, and everything that's in our world we created to be an effect, to be an expression of us, and it's not exactly the way we want it to be, then what do? We change it. We don't say that it's somebody else's fault. We don't say that somebody else has to change. We don't say that something else has to be different to achieve the goal that we want. We change our own thinking about something, our own attitude. Now, how do we change our attitude? Changing our attitude is a very simple thing, but it is very complex. Simple insofar as we just say, okay, I love you. Complex, putting it into motion. If I love you, and I create you as I love you, then I must do everything to you that would indicate that I love you. I must appreciate what you're doing. I must accept what you're doing. I must accept everything that you are because I love you, because you are that which I love. And if I love you unconditionally, I love it without concern of what the conditions may be. Now, if I'm the creator of it, I created the conditions. For instance, I create someone doing something in my world that I'm not harmonious with. I create someone in my world being late all the time. All the time they come in late. All the time they come in late. Like Stefan came in late for the meeting today. And so, well, what is that all about? Why did I create him coming in late? Why didn't I create him coming in 5 minutes to two and having 5 minutes to meditate and relax and get ready to discussion, to hear what we're thinking and be aware of what we're thinking? But I created him coming in at 6 minutes after. Right. So that's 11 minutes. 11 minutes late. Now, why did I do that? Is it because I don't like Stefan? Is it because I'm unhappy with Stefan? Is it because I was watching Stefan talking to this young man that you had seen him talking to earlier with the dogs, and that he was having such a good time? I could have put an arrow in the back of his neck and said, Stefan, get in here. I could have said, Stefan, it's time to be here. I could have done a lot of things, but why is it that I create anybody in my world tardy or late? It's not a matter of why. It's a matter of, I don't do that. So I create now everyone here on time. I create everyone here not for me. The 5 minutes beforehand is for you to be relaxed and get your act in order and forget about all the fun time you're having in the snow and the other good things, and just relax and be ready to think about what we're talking about. And what we're talking about this minute is dedication and the spiritual concept. It takes a lot of dedication on the spiritual concept. Now, there's no question about Stefan talking to the gentleman outside. There's no question about him being late. There's no question about any of these things. The only question is, do I want to create people coming late for our activities? Do I want to create people losing the benefit of being here in time for the activities? That's the question. If I do that, then I create everyone being here right on the button. everyone being here right when they're supposed to be, eagerly, willingly, desiring to be here, right on the button. Now, does Stefan desire not to be here on the button? That's not the question. Is it Stefan who's late? No. It's me who has created someone not being here, not being superly interested in what we're doing, to be here right on the button. Isn't that true? Is it the objective of what I'm creating the fault for whatever it is? Or is it me? Is it me within myself, within my own consciousness? When I take responsibility within my own consciousness, then is there going to be lateness again? No. Is there going to be anybody who delays our program? No. Will everybody eagerly be here? Yes. And if there's anyone who doesn't want to be here, then they won't be here, will they? At all. Will they? Because I create them being here on time. Now, Stefan says, boy, that sure is being used pretty good. He's getting a lot of mileage out of that one. Well, not really. I could have used other illustrations, as you know, and this one is far better, right?
That's a good one.
That's a good one. But, you see, that's the point. That's the point. I didn't create Stefan being late. Then how could he be late? I must have created him being late. I must have created him not being here on time for the program. We're really going to kill this one. And that is what the story is all about. That's what the story is all about. If anybody does anything in your world that you're not harmonious with, you created them doing that. So stop it and start creating them doing what is harmonious with you. Now, what is it that you would want? What could anyone do that in your world that's not harmonious? Irene, what could anyone do in your world that's not harmonious that you wouldn't want them to do?
I couldn't think of anything.
All right. For instance, you're making the meal, and you put all your love in that meal, and you set it out for each person. And then some person says, ugh, that's terrible, that's miserable. For a second, you like to kick him in the face. And the second, you think, why did I create someone not liking my meal? I thought I created a good meal and I created everyone liking it. And so you don't do that again. Before you make the meal the next time, you say, I am creating a meal here that everyone finds just superb. They just want to eat it all up. There's nothing left. There's nothing left. They've eaten every morsel on the plate. You know, that's always a good indication. And so, the next meal, what happens? They eat everything. But you see, you did your discipline. You did your homework. Before the activity, you created everyone enjoying everything that you're presenting. You created all the people you created there enjoying everything that you made ready. Make sense?
Yeah.
Question?
No, they're just areas where I never would think.
Of course.
Think such a thing, and it is perfect.
Yeah.
And there are areas which that
fits.
Which I really should do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. I use that because it it doesn't happen very often. Right. Now, the only thing that I had no enjoyment for was that hummus that you bought, hummus. And I ate it, and I didn't say anything about it, but you could tell probably.
No, I didn't.
What's that?
I agree with you.
Well, that's not the point. I don't care what you agree. It's my show. Now, if you want to get involved in this, then why did you create them giving you hummus?
I had the choice to take it or not.
But why did you create them having it on the menu? They should have everything on the menu that you dearly love. If you are the creator of the world and they are working for you, they are your slaves, they are your world. No, really.
Yeah.
They're your world. Slaves is a heavy word, but they're your. They create everything that you want to have and that you enjoy. And if you create them creating things you don't want, then that's silly, isn't it?
Yeah, but why is that now? How can I take charge so completely?
Did you hear what I said to her?
Yeah, but that means then every moment I need to...
Oh, really? Every moment? How interesting. Every moment. And what happens after you do this every moment?
Everything is fine.
No, if you do this every moment, it becomes such a lovely habit, you don't even think about it anymore. You just do it. Before every experience, big or small. It's tough. It's a whole new way of looking at it. But when you sit down at the meal, do you say, this food is healthy for my body and filled with love? Ha, 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 ha.
Sure we say it.
But do you believe it?
Yes.
Then how could you ever be served hummus?
Oh, that's
because it's very healthy.
Oh, dear.
But and it's healthy and filled with love, huh?
Oh, yes.
But essentially, we might add to that, this food is my favorite, healthy and filled with love, or something like that. But you see, it is the principle. And if before every meal we do that, we mean, we like it too, you know. I mean, because, you know, a lot of kids don't like the stuff their parents serve, you know. But they eat it because it's filled with love, and a spanking if they don't. But this is in every area, you know. Now, Ellen, since you brought yourself up here, since you brought yourself up here, every time you pick up the telephone, do you say to yourself, this is a beautiful telephone call filled with love and joy and peace and harmony, fulfilling every desire I have for this phone call?
I did it for a time. And
for a time?
Yeah, really, I had it on
a slip.
A slip right there. And I think that it worked just like that.
Well, do it with everything.
Yeah.
If it works just like that in that area, which is an area that takes a little attention, then how about other areas that take a little attention?
And also with the mail.
Yeah?
I remember there came once an envelope from the police, and I know that I was speeding in coming from a seminar, and the police was behind me. And I thought maybe this envelope now is an
citation.
Mm-hmm. And before I opened it, I put my hand on it and said, "All is in divine order." And it was just something. I don't remember what it was, but it was nothing.
Yeah, we have such power in our hands as creators that we can use constantly. Now, let me ask you this question, Mrs. Giaramini. You saw a license plate this morning which had EWJ on it, didn't you?
Yeah.
Ellen Wilms Giaramini. Okay, now, before this motorhome moves an inch, do you say what?
I surround this motorhome with my pure white light of love.
And you do say it every single time? Without fault, without exception.
That's right.
Okay. Everybody else, you do that too?
Yes.
Greg?
I didn't quite get it. I thought it's another motorhome. You mean this motorhome?
Go ahead.
Yeah, actually this one was our neighbor.
This motorhome?
But you're speaking of the neighbor's motorhome, where I said
Hey, that was a little diversion.
Oh, okay.
To mislead your attention.
Oh, all right.
No, and that wasn't a motorhome. That was a car this morning. Or was it a motorhome? I thought it was a car in front of us here. Anyhow, poof. No, we were talking about this motorhome.
Oh, sure.
Yes, sure. Every time before you start it up. Now, why are you doing it? You're putting a cause in motion.
Yeah.
You're being disciplined. And you see, if you're disciplined in every single little thing, it becomes a habit. And it becomes something that you do unconsciously or subliminally, but you never forget it. And when you forget it, you know you forgot it.
Yeah. The sentence that I'm surrounded by harmonious beings and harmonious circumstances is actually just perfect.
Very good. Very powerful. What's that, sir?
It's a general statement.
It's a general statement.
You don't have to do
specifics, yeah.
I mean, otherwise you would have to put Cause and Motion a million.
Well, just like our worldwide healing ministry, the prayer list, how many names do we have on there now? 250? No, there's much more than that. There must be, oh. Well, one page of typewritten stuff, double-spaced, is 300 words set in about 11-point courier. And so this is smaller than that type, isn't it?
Sometimes it depends.
Did you ever press the button, count, word count? All you do is press the button, word count on there, and it'll tell you, and then just subtract a few for the first paragraph. But there's at least 1,000 names there. It really is a lot. You don't realize how many, you know. And so we have a lot of people that we're treating, and we're supposed to treat with each one. But it's beautiful. But this is discipline. Discipline on the spiritual path, on your spiritual construct, on your spiritual concept. And as we do this, as we make this habit, then great things happen. Now, if any of you ever complain about anything, off with your head. No, really. Because you know the principle here. It's like Alice in Wonderland, you know, off with their head. But anytime anybody does anything foolish, we stand up for this principle here. We stand up for this principle that says, as we speak our word and as we know the thing about whatever we're dealing with, we bring that into motion, into our experience. And that is great. Now, are you willing to do that? Are you willing to spend 365 hours a day doing this?
Mm-hmm.
Yes? Oh, you are. Oh, you're a good one.
365.
Sure, well, that means on this dimension and a few other dimensions. But this is great. This is great. It brings such results and such rewards that it's unbelievable. Right?
Yeah.
Now, if we say, I am the pure white light of love, I'm surrounded by harmonious beings and harmonious circumstances, could you stub your toe? Neither could you?
No.
No way. If you say, I am surrounded by harmonious beings and harmonious circumstances, could anything ever happen that would be unhappy to you? That would make you feel less than good? Not possible. Every time you sit down to your computer, Sylvia, do you say, my fingers are the fingers of the infinite, flowing over these keys, lovingly creating perfect typeset, perfect grammar, perfect spelling, perfect graphics in every possible way. Every day I produce 3 or 4 books. Isn't that what you say?
Yes.
Thank you. Now. But this is great. Every day we say these things about our work. We say that we do beautifully. You know what Christina said? She sat down at the typewriter and started typing her autobiography, and she says, this is about me, it's going to be good. And then she just let it fly, and it was good. Now, how often do you sit down at the typewriter and type your autobiography and say, oh, God, how am I going to write this? Nothing comes to my mind. I'm sitting here, a blank mind, and nothing comes to my mind. I can't think of anything. I can't think of anything to write. I can't. Well, how are you going to write anything if you pump that sort of nonsense into your thinking, you know? You've already closed the door for your spiritual illumination, your mental creativity, and your physical agility in typing. You're dead tired before you even begin. And this is a silly thing to do, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So, when you sit down to do anything, you say, I am a genius. I am flowing smoothly with all these beautiful ideas, these beautiful concepts, and everything is in perfect divine order. And then everything is, and everything works out so great that it's just hard to imagine how it could be any other way. You are the cause. You are the effect. You are the totality of all these things. And it's just a matter of discipline in doing these things so that you have it happen harmoniously for you. But it won't work any other way unless you put it to work. You can ask for it, you can pray for it, you can beseech for it, you can do all the other silly things for it, but nothing will happen because you have not put your heart into it. You have not said, this is what we're doing. Now, when you are on the highway and you're looking for a restaurant, do you say, well, today I feel like this kind of food, maybe seafood, or maybe wieners, or maybe whatever, salad. Oh, a nice salad bar, a spinach salad bar. Oh boy, I'd like a nice spinach salad. And I'm going to the perfect restaurant for a spinach salad. I have no idea what restaurants are on the road ahead. It's none of my business. I speak my word. I have a perfect spinach salad for breakfast, for lunch. Breakfast is okay too. I have a perfect spinach salad for lunch. And then what happens? We pull off the road, and there is a lovely Denny's restaurant, which is usually known for hamburgers and quick foods and stuff. And so you pull off at this Denny's, and you pull in there, and right on their menu they say, special for today, spinach salad. And that's just what happened. That's just what happened when I was with Mark. Mark said, let's go to this Denny's restaurant. And I thought, Denny's? All right. I think a nice spinach salad would be good today. And I know that they'll have one. And we drove in there, and it wasn't on the top of the menu. In fact, it was at the bottom of the menu. And I said, Mark, I don't see a spinach salad on here. He says, oh. So he's paging through it. He says, over here, way here on the back. Way here on the bottom, on the back, on the very bottom, you know. And it was a nice salad, about $6. And I said, great. So I ordered it. And it was a humongous salad with everything perfect, exactly the taste, exactly the flavor of just what I wanted. Just offhandedly saying it, because he questioned me. I said, Mark, are you going to get the type of food you want there? You know? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I said, great. I said, well, I want a spinach salad. You see, when we put these causes in motion, they sound unimportant, you know, insignificant. Blah. They sound really as though they're totally off the wall and it's not necessary. But everything is necessary. Everything is necessary to be master of your consciousness. We went to see one of Mark's distributors, or suppliers rather, and I thought, oh boy, you know, this is another, they're going to talk business and they're going to do these things. And I said, no. I said, I'm going in there. Mark was driving. I'm going to go in there and I'm going to have a good time. I'm going to enjoy myself, and there's something special coming out of this for me. And I met that young man with those blue eyes and that love for his business. And he just took me under his wing and showed me the whole business there, told me all about the business. And I thought, my God, I'm getting the cook's tour for the president. Does he know who I am? I'm nobody. And he took me through there and showed me everything. It was such love and such happiness and such joy and such intensity of his blue eyes. They're very light blue eyes. And I'll never forget that guy. And he's just an employee. He's just an employee. And he said, you know, my boss is like my dad here. He said he really cares about us and things like that. But when we put the cause in motion, we don't know. I couldn't have said, I'm going to get a tour of the factory, bully, you know. It's where they make these windshields for helicopters and the frames and the bodies and everything else like that out of special fiberglass and material. But it was fascinating, really fast. Then I thought, well, now I'll just wait till Mark's ready to go. I'm ready to go. That wasn't the end. I sat down next to the boss's desk and find out that he really wants to retire, and he's running the business just because he's got all these employees and they're having such a good time, and he's getting a new factory which is twice the square feet of what he's got now, which he filled up every inch of what he has now, and nice place, real nice place. And he just told me his life story. Just opened up like a book. And I'll be using him for illustrations from time to time. But he's a really fantastic guy. But you see, when you open your heart up, to know that this is going to be a great experience. This is going to be exciting. And we talked virtually nothing about the techniques of Mark's building his plane and the details of it. He talked that with the other people. But I talked general things with these people. And it was great. Really was great. But it's putting the cause in motion before you go into an experience. Putting the cause in motion before you have whatever you have. Knowing that you are creating that with your thought. Do you do that? Mm-hmm. All the time?
All the time.
Great. Now the rest of you, do you do that all the time too?
Yes. All the time.
All the time. Yeah. Okay. So now, I would like each of you to tell me five illustrations of where you haven't done it and where it's been a goof up.
Not done it. She has not touched it.
Ellen. All you have to do is say to me, I can't think of a one. Or, yes, there was one. Mm-hmm. There was one. I decided to drink milk instead of coffee right in the middle of the meal, and I ended up getting both. You goofed. You should have had one or the other. But I end up getting both, which is even better, isn't it?
I would say so,
yeah. You see? So in your goof, you end up being better than you planned.
That's right.
But see, you can't even goof good.
No.
But this is good. This is good. Plan on working on this discipline thing. See how you can use this discipline thing to be an important thing for you. Because if you can handle this, you can handle anything that comes along in your life. Any problem at all that comes along. Makes no difference. I get so uptight with Sylvia. Sylvia says, I'd like to do this or I'd like to do that. And I say, Sylvia, don't do that. Put the cause in motion and you'll have it. You are a good cause putter in motion. And so this is what she should do. But occasionally she forgets. Occasionally she takes her beautiful, what is it, a 1,000-gun salute, and just takes out one gun. And always take out your 1,000-gun salute, which means all, what are they, I'm trying to think of the illustration, they say, bring out all your guns, put everything to bear on your choice. If you want something to happen, put all your energy on it, all your interest, all your conviction to it. And then it happens. Good idea?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what does Sylvia like? Sylvia likes a nice place to work, doesn't she? Right? Anybody does. So Sylvia puts a cause in motion. I now have a nice place to work. And what happens? She gets a real nice place to work. Christina, she wanted a nice place to work. And so she put the cause in motion. She has a nice place to work. So at first she was here, and then she was here, and then she was here, then she was here. And finally she's settled down, and now she has a super place to work. But she wasn't sure what it was going to be. And why was it going from here to here to here to here for Christina? Anybody tell me?
Because she wasn't sure.
She wasn't sure. She wasn't sure if she was worth it. She wasn't sure that she deserved to have the very best. And once she was sure that she deserved the best, then it just opened up for her so beautifully. And look at Ingeborg. Ingeborg, my goodness sakes. She said, I'd like a computer to do some typing on. And I said, you can't have one. She said, well, I'd like a computer and do my typing on. She got a computer now, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Two of them. One in the broadcast studio and one at
the
where?
The archives.
At the archives. I mean, my goodness. And then she gets a broadcast studio. She has a studio to do her broadcasting on the internet all by herself. And she's been using it, and is using it this week to broadcast while we're not there. Just doing great. And do you think that she is going to be a changed woman in a very few days? She's a good lady now. But she's going to be so changed because self-confident, assured of herself, not trying to lick people's boots anymore. That's neat. That's neat. But you see, when you don't feel worthy of things, then you put yourself down. And when you put yourself down, everything goes down. And we don't have any downers with us. We don't have any people who have a bad attitude about their self-confidence. Everybody in the organization is totally self-confident, right?
Right.
Everybody is a total success. Everybody is a very rapid typist, very, very good typist. What is it, 80 words a minute, or 100, or 150?
150.
150 words a minute. Great. And And they have something to write about. And everybody has their own computer. Everybody has their own workstation. Everybody has their own equipment. Everybody has their own beautiful lodge or retreat or whatever we call these cells. And everybody is so happy in their cell, they wouldn't want to live anywhere else. They might like to have a private toilet, but the toilet there is not too bad, is it? Do you find it bad?
What?
In the retreats. The bathroom.
No.
Nice, huh? Where were you?
I hardly ever use it, but it's nice. Yeah?
I hardly ever use it. Yeah. That's true, too. That's true, too. Here we have all these nice facilities. I hardly ever use it. Yes, you're at the house most of the time or at the swimming pool or someplace. Huh? Yeah, that's nice, too. But we have it. And then Irene wanted to have her personal shower, so we put up six of them or five of them outside. And then she never gets to use that either. Right?
Right.
But you see, when you think abundance, do you understand me? When you think abundance, it just flows on you. It just rains on you. It pours on you in every area that you don't need. And that's the time to start recognizing that the abundance is there. When you discipline your consciousness to say, oh, I love the shower down at the Swimex. I love the shower up at the swimming pool. I love the shower in the shower room of the retreat bathroom there. I love the shower in the monastery. You know, we got a couple of them there, don't we? Stefan's shower and the general shower. And here, what organization in their right mind would put in one less bathroom, would tear out a bathroom and get rid of it instead of keeping it? Really? And we did. We wanted our kitchen bigger. Our kitchen is now bigger by a bathroom, isn't it? And that's pretty nice. By two bathrooms, actually. Because that's the space of two bathrooms there. But it's wonderful. But abundance. You know, bigness. Roomy. Fun. And unlimited. What's the name of our organization? Unlimited! That's terrific, isn't it? You know, what's the name they give most organizations over in Switzerland and Germany and England?
LTD.
LTD, what does that mean?
Limited.
Limited.
That's right.
Limited. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, why do they do that? I presume there's a legal reason for it. You know, it's like a incorporated or something like that. Limited probably means incorporated. But
yeah.
what is it in German, incorporated?
GmbH.
What's that, please?
Gesellschaft mit Bescheidenheit. Mit Bescheiden.
What's that?
Gesellschaft mit
Bescheidenheit.
GmbH.
D-N-B-H? Oh, GmbH. Oh.
Gesellschaft mit
beschränkter
Haftung.
Sylvia?
Gesellschaft mit beschränkter Haftung.
Now say that in English.
Corporation with limited liability.
Oh, well, that's what a corporation is. It has limited liability for the staff or the corporate directors and so forth. The corporate directors are liable only insofar as what the corporate holdings are, not for their personal holdings. Ah, very good. And that's the corporations in America, too. I guess that would be a universal concept. But that's what that means. Very interesting. But it's such a different set of words. INC, Inc., Incorporated, seems like such a good universal word. But limited sounds, you know, as unlimited, limited. And an English word, limited, would mean to limit. And, of course, maybe that's what it says. Limited responsibility to the corporate officers. Perhaps that's what it means. Huh. Aren't we wise? As we whittle around these things, we sometimes come up with some very interesting results, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Now, did you know all that, Anita?
Yes.
Great. She's brilliant. But, of course, that's the kind of people we have here in our organization. Super brilliant people. So this is what it takes. It takes all of this dedication. It takes all of this awareness of what we're doing and how we can do it. Now, Stefan, what would you suggest that we do to be more dedicated in our spiritual path?
Be always on time.
That's the step. That's the step. Be always on time.
Follow the house rules.
Follow the house rules. What are they?
If you open it, close it. If you borrow it, return it. If you break it, repair it. If you turn it on, turn it off. If you unlock it, lock it. If you break something and you don't know how to repair it, call someone in who can.
And stuff like that. What are there, 10 of them all together?
12.
Something, 12?
12, I think.
But what's the benefit of those things?
It creates a discipline inside.
Now, are the rules themselves so important?
No.
It's what stands behind the rules that's important.
Yes. But wouldn't the first step then be, like you just said before, that we put the cause in motion, that this is already perfect
done. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because then we wouldn't break anything, and then we wouldn't forget anything and all that.
That's right. Because you're living on the high road, you're living on the perfect road.
That's a step further.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And that's what we really want to understand.
That's what you just pointed out, is the real discipline in
360
hours a day.
But that's also for the guests.
It's for everybody.
Yeah. But the guests are our creation, so guests are me, so.
But it's for everybody. Guests, friends, relatives, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, cousins, mothers, fathers, and stuff like that. That's very important, yeah.
Actually, this any experience that we enter into, we ahead of the time we speak, I speak my word for its outcome.
Yes.
I take charge ahead of
time
for everything. I don't wait till I have driven 10 miles or till I have given my speech.
Yes, right.
But I do it ahead of time.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And it's just training.
And then if you speak your word and while you drive to that occasion or whatever, you may have other thoughts too.
Like unsuccessful thoughts, you mean?
Yes.
Then
that's all the more reason that you put the right thought in motion for yourself.
Is that still, if the last thing I say, that's...
No, if you are driving in the rain and you cannot see very well, and you say, I see perfectly, and whoosh, the water comes down. I see perfectly. I stay properly on the road. Actually, I park and wait until the rain stops, but I see perfectly. And it's coming down in buckets and stuff like that, but I see perfectly, and carefully you edge yourself along. Regardless of how difficult the situation may be, you constantly affirm the truth about it. And while you're going to the meeting and you're going to be giving the talk and all of a sudden it comes, well, what if I lose my voice? What if I forget what I was going to say? What if I get up there and then my tongue won't wiggle in the right way? What if my tongue always wiggles in the right way? I always say things beautifully. I have more to say than I have time to say it. I have so many wonderful things that I want to share with these people. And I will share with them this beautiful thing. And then when I get done sharing, they will say, well, now, we're going to take a coffee break. And we'd like you to give us another hour lecture. And you say, another hour lecture? That's just fine. That's another $1,000. I'm happy to give $1,000 an hour lectures. You know, that's what I'm worth. Beautiful, huh? Isn't that a nice consciousness? And then they say, oh, really? We made this check out for $10,000, $5,000 for each hour you're going to talk. I'll take it. But you see, when you really think, and that's no joke, are you worth $10,000 for a 2-hour lecture?
At least.
Very good. You weren't too slow on that. But that's good. Immediately pick up on these things. Because when people think, when you think people are joking and saying, you know, like something like I just said, they're not. They're not joking. And you will be paid such a way. It's happened to me once or twice. Not as often as it should, but once or twice. And it's a very rewarding thing. Very, very pleasing. I've had a chance to speak to a couple of businesses and industries, and they'd have all their employees there, and they had me give lectures on positive thinking and stuff, and they gave me a real nice check. Real nice. I haven't the vaguest idea what it is right now, but it was several thousand dollars. It's a fun thing to do that. But when you put these things in your consciousness and you take mastership over your thought, no matter what thoughts, and if the thought keeps coming up, just say, hey, I'm great. I'm great. I'm great. You know, you walk in the door, I'm great! And the people say, wow, what a way to start a lecture. I'm great! And you're great, because every one of you are my creation. Every one of you are fantastic. Every one of you are the most beautiful, successful, happy, harmonious people in the world. Together, let's say it. I'm great. And get them to say it. I'm great. I'm great. I'm great. And you got the audience with you.
Yes.
The minute you can get them involved in a statement together with you. This is why Reverend Ike always did that. Reverend Ike, and they said the same thing all the time. But he'd get the people to say, black is beautiful. Black is rich. You know, don't say you was poor. Say, I was rich, I was rich, I was rich, you know. And he gets them saying that. We got the tapes of them if you ever want to listen to them. I'm sure they're around there yet. They're just fantastic. And they work. He had a Rolls Royce at every place where he went. What a character. What a great guy. But this is it. Discipline. Discipline, putting these things in motion so powerfully and so wonderfully that we're in charge, that we're getting exactly what we want out of life by putting exactly what it is that we want out of life in life. We do it beforehand. We do it wonderfully beforehand. We do it positively beforehand. And then the things come for us. But if we don't do it beforehand, what's going to happen? Nothing. Maybe we have a little residual stuff going for us, but I wouldn't count on it. Always keep your ammunition dry. Always keep your energy ready to flow, and be the master of who starts the flow. I like me, I like me, I like me. You can start any meeting you want if you ever speak before groups, and start any group you like. Say, ladies and gentlemen, before we begin today, I have an announcement to make. I like me. Now go ahead and laugh. Now I have another announcement to make. Each one of you like yourself too. Now let's say it together three times. I like me, I like me, I like me. Together. I like me, I like me, I like me. Boy, are you a good crowd. No, but you see, this is what you do. And if they don't do it, then you say, are you a good crowd, you know? I bet if we had your kids up here, they would say it better than you did, you know? Yes. Come on, now let's say it. And then you go, together, I like me, I like me, I like me. Four times, go ahead. But get them going. And don't let them hold you back. Don't let them make you feel inhibited in any way. I mean, sure, they got bow ties, they got evening gowns on, and they got the tuxedos, and they got all this rich-looking affair, but they're still people. As they say, they still put their pants on one leg at a time. You know? And that's true. So just go gentle with it, but know yourself, and stand up with yourself because you're disciplined. And if you're not disciplined, then you don't deserve to have the success. But be master under all circumstances. Be master. And just because you forget something, that's fine. Don't tell them you forgot it. Just go on as though you had planned on skipping that. You know? I sometimes say, let's see, my mother's name was... beautiful. She certainly was beautiful, you know. And just go right on. It's silly, But that happens. People have forgotten their own father's name when they're introducing him to a club meeting, you know, when they're at a Kiwanis Club or Lions Club or something. And this is my dad. You know, you bring your father and then you introduce him to the group. And my dad, what's your name, Pop? You know, it's the last name you can't remember, which is his last name, you know. I mean, blank, you know, you could go total blank, and as stupid as times, and you're with all your friends, and with your dad, and you forget his name.
As your telephone number, it happens.
Oh, yeah. Telephone number. I know mine, Blue Mountain 83904. That's from back in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin, when I was living there in 1930s and 40s, you know, and 20s, 30s, and 40s. That's great, huh? First it was 3904, just like that. Well, first it was not even that, you know. Just give your name, and then they tell you. And then it was 3904, and then it was 83904, and then it was Blue Mound 83904.
39.
Oh, that's you. She was in my world even before we started out. How about that? My goodness. What's the 04?
04? I wouldn't know.
04 is go for it, huh?
Go for it.
So let's work on this dedication of our spiritual concept. Let's really work on putting these causes in motion for these experiences that you want. And really take advantage of it. Never fear for anything of yourself. Always say, I know that I know that I know God in me knows the answer. Always say to yourself, I am the perfect expression of peace, purity, power, and goodness. Always say to yourself, I live in my eternally perfect spirit, mind, and body. Always say this to yourself. Have it forward in your mind. Have these affirmations right on the tip of your tongue. In fact, we ought to perhaps, Steph is going to love this, we ought to have another page in the gist every month, a page of affirmations. And have them written up, maybe 10 nice affirmations. And each month have 10 affirmations. And like one month, Anita writes 10 affirmations out of her own imagination. Another month, Greg. Another month, Sylvia. Another month, each one of us. And Gertrude and everybody write 10 affirmations. You know, let's see now, we got how many people here now? We got 8 people. So we got 8 months done. See, see, Stefan? 8 pages, 8 months. Isn't that nice? And then we put the picture of the person who creates these affirmations, but get them of your own. Have them be something that you create. You can take, I live in my eternally perfect spirit, mind, and body, but put your own aspect into it. Put your own feeling into it. Put your own imagination, or write something that pleases you. Because when we do this, then we are thinking. We are thinking. And then when Gertrude comes over to a seminar, or we go to a seminar where Gertrude is there, and all the people in the seminar say, you're Gertrude Suter? You had those wonderful affirmations? Repeat them to me again now, will you? You see, you're going to be expected to know your affirmations, and they're part of you. But then you see, as years go on, and every year you do one perhaps, you know, you're going to have a lot of affirmations to remember, and people are going to expect you to remember it. And I have that same thing, and I don't like to remember those things, so I just say to them, what is it you'd like an affirmation for? And they say, well, the health of my mother. She's, and I say, okay, and then I create an affirmation right there for her, brand new. I said, now, wouldn't you rather have an affirmation just for your mother than one of those that are general? Oh, yes, yes, yes. See, there's always ways to accomplish these things. Yes. And why are you smiling so continuously? Hmm? You should remember. Hmm?
Oh, you're smart.
it's what you have to do. Because you can be... remembering all these little details are good, but working with a person individually at that point is even better. And I find that very helpful. And I know that you guys will find that very helpful too, because that's something that's going to change your life. It's going to change your whole life. when your thought, when you get in the car and your first thought is, how is the mirror? How is the seat? You know, how is everything else? And then your second thought is, have I got the radio turned on to the station I want so I don't have to do it while I'm driving? And did I take off the brakes? Did I start the car? Is everything in order? Is there anything behind me? Is there anything in front of me on the sides? You know, and then twing, take off, you know, right, Greg?
Right.
And then as you're driving down the road, my way is free before me. My path is clear. Right? No? What do you say?
I say that first and afterwards check the mirrors and everything, if I do.
You do?
Yes.
Okay, anything else you do that we should know about? No, you can say it because, I mean, you know, then I don't have to say, okay, you're right.
No, that for the car, that's it.
Oh, there's something for you? You say something for yourself?
For myself. Well, every morning when I get up, I tell myself that I have a happy, joy-filled, revealing, filled with laughter day in front of me in paradise.
Great. Mm-hmm. That all?
No, that's part of it.
Go on.
The rest is individual to the day, what I want to experience.
Very good. Very good. Looking at the day and speaking your word of a positive way about everything in the day that you know about or that you even don't know about. Mm-hmm. You just speak. But this is good. This is good. I'm sure all of you do that.
That's right.
You do?
Sure.
When did you learn how to do that?
I think already as a child, doing my prayer in the morning and in the evening, so that was already...
What kind of prayer did you do in the morning and evening as a child?
As a child? I don't know what I was...
Holy Mary, Mother of God?
No, I made my own little prayers. I don't remember what I said,
good.
I had that discipline.
You see, here's her chance to be on center stage, and she says, I can't remember.
Well, I know one
thing. If she were smart, she would just create it right here and now, and we'd never know the difference, would we?
Yeah, that's right.
And it probably would be true, wouldn't it? You know one thing?
Yeah, I remember one thing I always did, praying for my father that he would come back from his tour every morning he left, and that he was coming perfect.
On his route, when he was out being a salesman.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. And then he was very often sick. I prayed a lot for him that he was healthy.
What kind of prayer did you say?
Well, I was saying, lieber Gott,
im Himmel,
mach den Papi gesund oder so irgendwas.
And in English, that is?
Dear God, let... heal my dad or let him be healthy or something like that.
And did it work?
Yeah, it worked.
Why was he often sick if it worked?
So that you could...
That's right. That's right.
You like that help.
Yeah, huh? That is a good one. Well, that's our Sylvia. Yeah, that's a good one.
Well, you see, these things are important. Mm-hmm. And it's important for us to not remember what we did in the past, but to remember that this is something natural to us. It is something that we have done. And so it's just natural as falling off a log. And we want to do it now. Continue doing it in every beautiful way. Mm-hmm. Now, this is great. And all of you are making lovely statements. All of you are creating beautiful affirmations and doing great things with your writing. And I enjoyed hearing what Christina said about my editing of her articles. She said, and Herb edited my article, and he edited my article. And the rest of you who... I have edited your article very strongly, thought to yourself, yeah, I know, you wonder if you're still there, you know. And she says, no, he didn't make any corrections. I couldn't find hardly any corrections that he made on there. And that was true. Because she had so a flow from her heart, and she just let it go, that who can ever correct a person's heart? If there were grammar, that was great, but her grammar is good, and her spelling is wonderful, and her ideas were fabulous. We're going to have to print that up for all of you to have a copy of it. But it's not so much that of what you said, which is good, but it's that you were a pure delight in doing it. And that's what each of us want to be. Mm-hmm. Not heavy, but just a pure delight in how we express ourselves. And then our writing is going to be just so great. It's like this fellow in Florida who has the thesis and the gist. Roland Edwards, yeah. Now, Roland Edwards, he did his own thing. And it was far from what we really want to have and far from what we recommend that you do. But it was so good, we had to run it. Because it was unique. It was him. It was a very, if you've read it, a very dramatic, beautiful expose of his feelings and his growth in spiritual understanding. It was really quite good.
Yeah, and I found he's quite intellectual, and that was very pure and innocent.
Unintellectual.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Not that it was inferior in any way.
Right.
But it was just a piece of magic, piece of music.
Yeah.
And this is beautiful. But this is what each of you can do. You can say before you sit down to write, I now turn on the music of my soul and let it pour. I now turn on the music of my soul and let it pour. I now turn on the music of my soul and let it pour. And when you do that, your soul will just spout out with all the joy of your heart, with all the drama, with all the beauty, with all the content, with all the things that are so important to you, that your article, whatever it may be, is going to be just magnificent beyond words. And that's nice, isn't it? All right, Anita, what did I say?
Your article, what? Uh-huh. I now turn on the music of my soul and let it pour.
Right.
Oh, not roar.
Roll, pour, whatever. You like the alliteration. I now turn on the music of my soul and let it roll. Let it pour. P-O-U-R. To flow, to pour, to run. It's great. P-O-U-R. Not P-O-O-R, but P-O-U-R. Great. Alrighty. I think we have covered that very nicely. Any comment? Any question? Yes, Stefan?
Nope.
Anybody else? Great. Okay. Take 10.